Chapter 4. The Monday afternoon appointment with Eric was wonderful. Well, in the sense of wonderful, that means in torturous pain, both physically via massage to very sore places, and emotionally through unexpressed love, but pain you wouldn't give up for the world. Charles was hoping to switch to less complicated senses of wonder starting Friday night, but for the time being, he'd take what he could get. "You're sure you're okay?" Eric handed Charles a cup of water. He always did right after the massage, but now they always brushed fingers, locked eyes. "I know we worked that lower area pretty hard again." "Honestly, it's fine," Charles said, as though he hadn't been on the verge of tears moments before. "You're making it so much better. I appreciate it." "You're tough," Eric says. "Listen, I was thinking..." Charles' heartbeat quickened. "Yeah?" "You know, we can talk about it later. I'll be here Wednesday morning, as usual, okay?" "Okay, of course." They didn't talk as much as they normally did after a massage. They were quieter with each other. Shy, Charles thought. Having made someone as powerful and stoic as Eric turn shy would have made him feel utterly irresistible at any time when he wasn't so bashful himself, stumbling over his words, hardly able to hold Eric's gaze. "Friday night," he reminded himself as he was waving goodbye to Eric at the door. The taxi they always called for him waited halfway down the drive, so there was a little while to sit there and watch Eric go. Hands in the pockets of his hoodie, the usual backward glance over one shoulder. He'll want to talk Friday night. It's finally time. Charles had to start prepping students for finals the next day, so he managed to concentrate on his work most of the evening. More or less. Sort of. Every time his mind wandered at all, it went straight to Eric. The way Eric had ducked his head when they first smiled at each other that afternoon, or how his hands had lingered on Charles's shoulders for a few moments after the massage ended. "Stop it. Keep this up and your students are going to get a study sheet with discussion questions like, 'Do you think Eric Lencher considers himself primarily a top or a bottom? Diagram your work.'" So it wasn't until Charles awoke the next morning, shortly before his alarm, that he really had a moment to daydream in earnest. As usual, he heaved himself over onto his back, rotating as Moira had decreed, the better to avoid pressure sores. But even as he did so, he imagined flopping over in bed next to Eric, what it might be like to wake up beside him. Which was when Charles saw, for the first time in far, far too long, a telltale swelling beneath his bedsheet. One that went along with a pleasant sense of arousal flowing within him. He lifted it up, just to make totally sure. "There you are," he said to his erection. "Long time no see." The joke was his nervousness talking. Charles knew that. But this was encouraging, wasn't it? If even the thought of Eric could get him hard, then he had a chance Friday night. Lotion. Bedside table. His hands fumbled it slightly, clumsy in the way people became when they were late, when they thought they'd missed their chance. But within a few moments, he took himself into his fist. The sensation was so dim as to be almost absent, but not quite, not quite. It was enough, wasn't it? Charles thought it felt more like jerking off someone else, the tightness of a cock in his palm. The ridge of the head, the long shaft, all more like someone else's than his own. But his heartbeat was going faster and faster. That had to be good, right? And his breaths came shallow. He could do this. He could. If he could get himself off, then he could come for Eric. He wanted so, so badly to come for Eric. So he went for it. And went. And went. "Come on!" Charles groaned. His face was flushed, his fingers starting to cramp. Come on, please, please. He envisioned Eric kissing him, atop him, naked. Instinctively, he pictured the kind of sex he'd always had before, painting Eric into each image, shoving Eric against the wall and fucking him where they both stood, or pushing Eric to his knees, unfastening his jeans, letting Eric suck him off, riding him, taking him on the floor. None of it could ever happen, but that was okay, wasn't it? This was fantasy, just fantasy, and it ought to have been more than enough to bring him over the edge. But his cock softened within his grip, and though Charles tried frantically to recapture some hardness, just a little, he could get it all back if he could only begin. Nothing happened. He went completely limp. Charles had to let go. His arm muscles ached, and his body was covered with sweat, and he had nothing to show for his efforts, except proof that Friday night was unlikely to go well. Damn it, he whispered. The only thing he succeeded at that morning was not crying. As I see it, Hank said, the passages on homologous recombination are perhaps not friendly to the lay reader. In other words, they're total technobabble. Precisely. The one free period Charles had in the afternoon was being spent in a private conference room at the university library. He and Hank could have reviewed edit notes for the book in his office, but Hank was deeply distressed by Charles's filing system. I.e., if it's all on top of my desk, I can eventually locate whatever I'm looking for. Better that they met here, where Hank could lay everything out in neat rows on a broad, pristine table. I've been thinking about your writing advice, about how we must always find a way to introduce core scientific principles through real-world uses for this knowledge that will engage reader interest. Hank pushed his glasses up on his nose. As usual, Charles thought that anybody who didn't know Hank well would assume the spectacles were a hipster affectation. Really, Hank was just the last man on Earth unworldly enough to choose horn rims just because he thought they were very practical. If you don't think it's too, well, sensationalistic, could we structure that chapter as the dark side versus the light side? Genetically modified foods versus potential breast cancer cures? That was exactly, precisely the kind of insight they needed. The sort of thing Charles usually came up with himself. It was a huge leap forward for Hank in terms of understanding how to reach a popular audience. But instead of shouting, "Eureka!" Charles simply nodded. Worth a try. Professor, Hank, for the last time, we'll be brothers-in-law before summer ends. Couldn't you call me Charles? Not in a university setting. Professor, it seems to me that you're distracted today. With a sigh, Charles leaned back in his wheelchair. I suppose I am. Is something troubling you? Are you uncomfortable? Yes and no. Could he talk to Hank about this? He badly needed to speak guy to guy. But guy to Hank was a different thing altogether. Any port in a storm, Charles decided. I need you to keep this private from Raven, okay? Hank's expression darkened. I try not to keep secrets from her. It's not a secret. It's about, well, my love life. And you know how she gets. It's much too early for her to hear about it. Because if she does, she won't ask when we're going out. She'll ask when I'm buying Eric a ring. I see your quandary. Discretion is indeed the better part of valor. Hank pushed the note slightly aside. Even now, separating work and life. I notice you said Eric. This is the man you talked about over dinner that time, isn't it? One and the same. That's been, progressing. And I think we're about to, well, you know, cross the line. Become involved. Cause enough for distraction, surely, but you seem more anxious than anticipatory. Charles hadn't realized it was that obvious. What if "stay back" was the signal he'd been subconsciously sending Eric all this time? I haven't been involved with anyone since my accident. Are you primarily concerned with sexual differences or the emotional ones? He'd been so obsessed with the sex that he hadn't really considered the rest. Emotional? Hank took this not as a question, but as confirmation. Although I have never been in your situation, the complications seem obvious. There would be a strong impulse towards greater dependence than is usually considered ideal between romantic partners, given the genuine difficulties you face on many different fronts. You, at least, have a strong, independent streak to combat that. But you must assess whether Eric will understand this and accept you fully as an equal. Certain people are drawn to those with disabilities as a sort of fetish, and Eric may be one of them, which may or may not bother you, but no doubt you will wish to determine if that is the case. For clarity's sake, if for no other reason. Also, while you naturally, and I should add correctly, consider that you have much to offer a potential boyfriend, you will have an equally natural impulse to overcompensate for any deficiencies you imagine he would feel. But by remaining conscious of these problematic tendencies, you will greatly increase your ability to combat them. Slowly, Charles said, "Hank, why didn't you go into psychology?" "Not enough math." "Of course." He breathed out, back in, trying to keep it slow and steady, and not at all on the verge of panic. Sex wasn't the end of it? Sex was just the beginning of his problems? Up until now, Charles had been counting on his past relationship experience to see him through, which was idiotic, because he sucked at relationships. "Do you feel I have helped you with this advice? Raven says I sometimes fail to grasp certain emotional subtleties. Fortunately for me, she's rather straightforward in her needs and wants." "Feeling much better," Charles lied. "Let's get back to work, shall we?" Technobabble was the least of his problems, and the only one he felt sure he could handle. Despite all this, Charles felt reasonably at ease when Eric arrived for their Wednesday morning session. Wednesdays were their least talkative, most businesslike day. The early hour was the main reason, though it was also the day of the week when Charles was most likely to be preoccupied with his university duties. Nothing big ever happened on Wednesdays. They could just relax, be together. It was nice. "The weather's dire out there," Charles said. "We should call the cab for you a little earlier today. Even this far out of Manhattan, it's a bitch getting a taxi in the rain." "They say it's going to clear up." This wasn't entirely persuasive in Charles's opinion. The skies were low and gray, but Eric's confidence meant he never took his hands from Charles's back, which was lovely. "We've never really discussed what your Wednesdays are like. I hear about Mondays and Fridays because I get you at the end, but Wednesdays, a complete mystery." "That's the day I fight crime under my secret identity," Eric said, so matter-of-factly that it doubled the effect of the joke. As Charles chuckled, Eric continued, "Nothing so dramatic. I go into our center for a few hours of in-house sessions, then take my water therapy certification class." "Just 2 more weeks to go, right?" "Exactly. Thanks to you." "Nonsense." "Once you're certified, we should go out to celebrate. Dinner's on me." The words hung there, waiting to be spoken. But Charles reminded himself that Friday night was the time for that. It was too good a line to waste, but not now. Not yet. When the session was over, the rain had stopped as per Eric's prediction, but recently enough that Charles was proved correct about the taxis. Long after the car should have arrived, They still waited together in the living room. Charles thought perhaps they could just hang out, relax together, in a sort of rehearsal for the business to dating transition. However, Eric's mind remained firmly in professional mode. "You said your hands sometimes bother you?" Eric looked down at Charles's hands, which were folded in his lap. "That can happen, particularly when people are as stubborn about manual wheelchairs as you are." "If I use the power chair all the time, I'll lose upper body strength," Charles insisted. "But yes, sometimes my hands get sore." "Let's go over some self-massage techniques." With that, Eric slid further down the leather couch until he was sitting at the very end, only inches from Charles's chair. "Show me what hurts, when it hurts." Charles turned over his hands, showing his palms. They were callous now, rough as any day laborer's. "They used to blister. That doesn't happen any longer." "There's this wonderful new invention called gloves you could look into sometime."
"I wear them occasionally, not all the time. My hands needed to be tough, you know?"
With one hand, Charles pointed to the pads at the base of each finger on the other. "But here, this gets tender." "You realize carpal tunnel is a real risk for you, right? Really, Charles, you've got to take better care of yourself." He was being scolded. Charles didn't know whether he found that a little overbearing or more heartening, since it was, after all, proof that Eric cared. Or that he was a conscientious professional. One or the other. Eric took one of Charles's hands into his own and began using his thumb to make deep circles against Charles's skin. They remained like that for a few long seconds, hand to hand, touch on touch. It seemed very important to say something, and yet very difficult to speak. Charles swallowed hard.
"That feels wonderful."
"Good." Was it his imagination, or was Eric's voice a little husky? "Rub in deep, right here, just like this." Of course, Charles knew that Eric meant for him to try this motion as self-massage, but he hadn't actually been specific, which allowed for some individual interpretation. Charles turned his hand over, capturing Eric's fingers in his own. With his other hand, he began massaging Eric's hand, just the way Eric had shown him. "Like this?" Eric was clearly considering correcting Charles, making him work on his own hands alone. He didn't.
"Yeah."
"Your hands must cramp too sometimes."
"Good God," Charles thought. "Could my voice get any squeakier without inhaling helium?"
But he tried to sound suave, if Alvin and the Chipmunks could sound suave. "Using your hands all day, the way you do." Eric nodded. Charles didn't see this. They were sitting very close, both looking down at their joint hands. Instead, he heard the movement, almost felt it. They were near enough that if Charles leaned over, just a little.
"Don't be stupid. Friday night's the time for all that. This is just flirtation. A preview of the coming attractions."
"What do you guys do? To take care of your hands, I mean."
"This, mostly."
Eric sounded distracted, the same way Charles knew he did himself, though surely they were both hotly focused on the touch of their hands. "But there are exercises, too, to get strong."
"Like what?"
Charles turned to Eric as he said it, the exact same moment Eric turned toward him. He hadn't been planning anything and felt sure Eric hadn't either, and yet suddenly they were face to face, far closer than they'd ever been before. So close, they were almost touching, so much that it was impossible to pull away.
So we kissed Eric. Once, quickly, as furtive as a boy at a middle school dance. His mouth was dry, and their lips didn't quite meet right. And Charles's first thought was,
"Oh God, that was awful."
But Eric didn't pull back, and Charles kissed him again right away, as if to erase the memory of the first kiss with the second. At first, Eric remained still against him, so much that uncertainty speared Charles's heart. And yet, at the moment when he would have stopped, Eric leaned into the touch. Now he was the one kissing Charles. Again. Once more. And then the first real kiss captured them both, fusing them together. Charles's doubts and nervousness vanished in the brilliant flash of that realization. He wants me. He actually wants me, just as much as I want him. This is really happening. I never thought it could, and here it is. Here it is at last. It had been so long since he'd kissed anyone. 2 years and then some. Charles had almost forgotten the taste of it, the nearness of the curves of lips and chin and nose, the rasp of stubble against his cheeks, the way you could breathe in the scent of someone's skin. He leaned into the kiss more, everything in him swaying toward Eric, turning toward him, seeking heat and light. Eric opened his mouth a little, their tongues touched, and Eric groaned into it, a sound of such hunger and want that Charles flushed hot with desire. Then he went utterly cold. Oh God! Oh my God! He wants to have sex! I can't have sex! I haven't even asked Moira for that Viagra prescription yet! I was going to do that tonight! For Friday! What if the cab comes? Why am I worried about the goddamn cab? What am I supposed to do? At that moment, Eric pulled out of the kiss. His voice breathy and fast, he said, "You realize I have to resign as your massage therapist now." Oh, right. I should have realized. But Charles hadn't really thought about it, and his first reaction was that he felt abandoned. That was stupid of him. Of course Eric wouldn't be allowed to date a patient. And yet it felt like everything was changing far too fast. Of course, I want you to be very sure this is all right with you. All right with me? Charles blinked. I just licked your tongue. Was that not sufficiently enthusiastic? Eric kept explaining, more like an employee in spin control than a lover. People in your situation are naturally more vulnerable. Vulnerable to certain things, to emotions, which I would never want to take advantage of. What? No, I mean, my situation? What are you talking about? He knew what Eric meant. Of course he knew. By this time, Charles was very used to people seeing the wheelchair instead of the person. But he'd never dreamed Eric would do that. Instead of responding to this, Eric kept on. I have to make sure you're taken care of, always. Taken care of? His temper sparked. Yes, right, exactly. Like a patient, Charles shot back. You are my patient. Or you were until about, 3 minutes ago. And you think that makes me, what, less capable of knowing my own mind? Too stupid to tell whether I want someone or not? Not able to take care of myself? The anger boiled up so fast, so violently, that Charles couldn't have held it back if he'd wanted to. Which he didn't. Christ, Eric, I get that from almost everyone else in the world, but from you? About this? It's not okay for me to be doing this! Eric's face. Was that anger or fear? Both, maybe. Do you understand that? It's not okay for you to see me as someone sick, someone weak,
That's the only reason it's not okay. You don't see that I have a responsibility here? Don't take responsibility of me! I can take responsibility for myself! He was being treated like a child again, like an invalid. Just when he thought, when he tried, Charles couldn't bear it.
It turned out that when Eric got upset, he turned cold, almost forbidding. He drew himself up, more formal and less reachable than ever. You're not thinking about this rationally.
That I admit. I wasn't thinking rationally. I wasn't balancing everything on the scales of responsibility and logic when I kissed you. Mea culpa. You see, unlike you, I actually defrost once in a while.
Something sparked deep within Eric's gaze then. Anger, perhaps, or pain. Had he just hurt Eric? Charles was too hurt himself to regret it, though he knew later he would. Obviously, neither of us understood what we were getting into.
This was a mistake.
I'll go, Eric said. I'm sorry. I'll... Medmobile will send someone new on Friday. He was off the couch in an instant, grabbing up his duffel and heading for the door. Charles didn't even budge until he heard it shut. Then he wheeled himself to the window and looked outside. There, Eric walked along the drive that led away from the mansion. Puddles still lined the path, which was dark from the early rain. Although the taxi still hadn't arrived, Eric apparently intended to wait for it out on the street.
What just happened? Charles thought.
His anger still wanted Eric to go, to walk away and never come back. And yet, his heart bled lonely within.
What did he say? What did I just do? Shit.
Charles watched Eric the whole time he walked away. Always before, Eric had looked back once before he went. This time, he didn't. It felt as though 1,000 years had passed for Eric before he finally got home that night. Home. The apartment had never really felt like a home to him. He'd bought it in haste shortly after the accident, spending far more than he could afford once he'd realized they'd need a fully wheelchair-accessible place. Every cent of the court settlement against the driver's estate had gone to pay for it. That had left nothing for new furnishings, paint, art, any of the things that made a living space personal. The chairs and sofa had been shabby when they got here years ago. Hauled over from both his old place and his parents' home, now they were almost derelict, sharply at odds with the spick-and-span cleanliness, the bright white walls. Eric hadn't ever cared, not while his mother was there to be nursed and tended to. He'd had more important things to worry about then. But in the 3 years since, why did this place still feel more like a hotel or a hospital than the place where he lived? Maybe it felt emptier than usual this evening because of what had happened with Charles. I had to be certain, Eric repeated to himself, for at least the 100th time that day. If Charles was too emotionally fragile to enter into a relationship, then it was my duty to pull back. Obviously, he was. That should have felt reaffirming. Instead, it felt like an excuse. All day, Eric had dreaded a call from the Medmobile managers. In his heart, he knew Charles wouldn't report him, but he felt Charles would be well within his rights to. Maybe he'd almost been hoping for the call. If someone would take him to task, punish him for going down this path, it might erase some fragment of this crushing guilt. Even if he'd done the right thing, he'd hurt Charles, and he'd never, ever wanted to hurt Charles. Another excuse bubbled up. He's the one who kissed me. But that wasn't an excuse. It was the truth. Charles had kissed him. Charles, who hadn't been with anyone since before his accident, who obviously felt vulnerable every time he undressed his scarred body or prepared himself for pain. Charles was the one who'd had the guts to make the first move. He'd been braver than Eric, and his reward? Being treated like a patient at the very last moment he should ever have been made to feel that way. Idiot, Eric thought. Coward. All this time you thought you held back because you were so good, so pure, because you believed you wanted to protect Charles. You were only protecting yourself. From the day of his parents' accident, Eric had been sealing himself away from more pain, in smaller and smaller boxes, farther and farther from the life he'd once known. He didn't decorate his home, because that would mean taking joy in it, allowing it to matter to him. He ate and exercised as though healthy habits would bring immortality, even though he knew that to be an illusion. And since his last breakup, he'd never allowed another man to get close. Not until Charles. Even Charles had to slip in under the radar as a patient. Even Charles had been forced to make the first move. And now he'd pushed Charles away. So far, Eric didn't know how to get back. You fucking coward. You've lost him. The worst part is, you deserve it.